League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're about to get married.
Exactly, 6 months away, so...
Bought the rings.
Yeah.
Quite a boring job.
All right.
It's all right, like, it's you go, but it's somebody that's showing you loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of different rings. And you keep having to do the, oh, right, yeah.
You've got skinny fingers.
Whatever, but you have to... And then you're like, you sort of look on the inside just because you think, I've been looking at the outside too long. I need to... And you're like, oh, what's that? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm looking at. So,
do you nod?
Loads of nodding.
Did you get the temptation to make any blue gags about rings?
Showing your rings, yeah. No, it seemed like a little bit of a classy place. So Sarah was right next to me and having the exact same problem of just...
I bet you got a tight ring, yeah.
Yeah. That's the intro. Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 27 of the Tottenham Way podcast. There is no Dan Kilpatrick this week. Anyone that listened last week will know that he's in Thailand. But in his stead, we've got two bastions of Spurs podcasts. Don't laugh. It's very true. First off is Jack, otherwise known as Tetrunk, from Rule the Roost podcast. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Second appearance on the cross-pollination episodes of the Tottenham Way.
Yeah.
So how do you feel?
Do what I want, mate. Yeah. Just running all over the shop.
How do Raj and Seb feel about you?
Don't care.
No. You're your own man.
That's it. Do what I want. Seb was, you know, fraternising on Ball Street the other day, so...
Was he?
Yeah.
There's a cultural mix I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I've listened to a few Ball Street and knowing Seb through Rule the Roost is, yeah, I can imagine that's a clash of clans, let's say. Yeah, and Ollie Lister. Sorry, mate. Hello.
Sorry. Hello.
How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. I feel like we should mention that it's a sort of a congratulatory intro because we've all got kind of things going on. Jack, you've recently been made a proper man by deciding to, well, have your marriage proposal accepted.
I wonder where you're going with that.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure, to be honest. No, congratulations, Jack.
She's a lucky girl.
She's taking a ride on the matrimony pony.
Yeah. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I like it. It's from The Simpsons, I think. I'm enjoying that. I'm going to use it as much as possible in the next 6 months. Yeah, I'm getting married in August. And Ollie, I don't know if we've ever mentioned this on this podcast, but you are having a baby, aren't you?
Well, I'm not doing the major part of it.
No, but your partner is.
My partner is, yes.
Who is also a Tottenham Way regular.
She is.
Is Rosa. So yeah,
at Rosa Law, yeah.
We can't mention this in front of Dan because he gets a bit teary.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he keeps saying it every so often. He's like, I can't believe this news. This is really nice. He acts the big man, sort of, on here, but he's a sensitive soul, is Dan. But the first Tottenham Way baby. If it wasn't for the Tottenham Way, maybe that baby wouldn't have come into existence. Don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing.
I just wanted to come on here and thank you.
Yeah,
I'll be off.
Must remember to thank him.
You're literally going to be a dar now.
Dar.
There's a lot to match there.
All the jokes all
match the jokes.
Yeah. Is that what the last like 10 months have been? Just practice. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah. I don't know where we're going with this. Let's start. Let's start with the crap of the Europa League. Did you guys go to Wembley?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's becoming a little bit routine now, isn't it? Starting to learn like the quick ways there and pubs to go to beforehand, which is quite good in preparation for next season, but we'll come on to that. Disappointing end, but I actually in a weird way enjoyed the game. I don't know about you. I think obviously we dominated from the start, and unfortunately it was probably Dele Alli's red card that pretty much made the difference. It's hard to see past it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was right in front of me, and as soon as you saw him fly in, you're like, before the ref got his cards out, you're like, we're done.
Yeah.
And you're just going through the whole game going, what could have been?
Mm.
We did play well, though.
I think that's the disappointing thing. You know, with 11 men, you can say with some certainty that we would have gone through probably quite comfortably. Even if we'd have gone in at half-time at 1-1, I'd have definitely backed us to get two goals in the second half. But the way that we played with 10 men, it seems as if we had the right idea. We were just that one man short, didn't it? The result itself, or let's say the elimination itself, you were in Dortmund last year, weren't you, Jack, for the loss out there?
It's a good laugh.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
You never go for the football.
Good
but,
fun.
You know, that was a meek elimination to a one of the best teams in Europe. But this time round, and obviously, you know, midfield of Mason and Carroll told you everything about the team selection and the how we were prioritising it. But this time round, we played two really strong teams, home and away. And we've come out of it still having been eliminated at pretty much the same time as we do every year. Is that more disappointing, do you think?
Massively, in my opinion. I take on board the fact we did play pretty well. You know, Ali's recklessness was, not even recklessness, just nastiness, really.
Yeah.
It's definitely a contributor, but I mean, you get accused of being a bit arrogant about this kind of thing, but ultimately they're a mid-table Belgian team. Really, we shouldn't have been in the position we were in going into the second leg. Should have turned them over quite easily. And it is disappointing. You know, we did play well. We did play very well in the second half, you know, especially with 10 men. But we're pretty wasteful. Wasteful with a lot of our chances, I felt. Could I just dive in with an unpopular opinion?
Yes.
Yeah, shall I?
Go for it.
Because obviously I'm sure we'll get onto the majesty of the man I'm about to slander now. I've got to say one of my biggest disappointments throughout the kind of the season at Wembley.
Alton Towers.
I feel like the occasion's got to Harry Kane quite a lot. I feel like it got to him quite a bit against Ghent. I felt throughout sort of the group stages at Wembley, it got to him. And I'm not saying he's bottled it. I don't think it's anything like that. I just think it means so much to him. Like, again, we saw against Ghent. And this is probably partly Dele Alli's fault as well. But he was just dropping back a lot. And it was such a contrast to how we've seen him play against Fulham, for example, away when he was just that man on point. Oozing with confidence, oozing with class. And this, it just seemed like he second-guessed himself, snatched a lot of his shots, didn't really pull the trigger where he could have done. And I'm not laying into Harry Kane too much. I just, you know, overall, I just kind of feel that, you know.
Do you think it maybe at a place like Wembley, do you think, we've said before on either how he is Mr. Tottenham now. He's the poster boy of the Pochettino reign, this new team that, you know, wins more games than they lose, as simple as that. But maybe, do you reckon he's maybe trying to take on that mantle a bit too much? I'm looking at you, Ollie, as if you've just said that point, but this is more of a general discussion.
When you say Mr. Tottenham, certainly. Against Fulham, he was captain, was he not?
Yeah.
And you think there were kind of more senior players, if you like, in terms of longevity, starting that day. So he's obviously gone up the pecking order in that regard. And I think Jack's right, you know, he snatched at the chances that came his way. There was one in particular where he pulled it really wide and normally that goes in the bottom corner and, you know, game on.
Feels like he maybe just needs one.
Did he get one in the Champions League group stage?
Against Cesca, which I feel like we can...
It's a dead rubber.
Yeah, and I said, I think in the preview for the game last week, I said that Cesca felt like a Europa League game already, so that could work in our favour. It could be that, you know, we've played that, let's say, level of football where maybe both teams aren't that arsed about it.
Do you think there's a case, though, that maybe, you know, maybe Pochettino's team selection suggested he was asked about it, but the players maybe aren't?
Yeah,
compared
possibly
to how well and up for it we've looked in the FA Cup since,
but,
yeah, against
but
Fulham,
we've said already how good the performance was against Ghent. You know, on another day, and without Ali's red card.
It got better second half, and up until the point where we scored, actually, we were really good. And as soon as we got that second goal, we stopped doing what we were was making us so effective in that half.
Yeah, but we were down to 10 men. You know, we'd done all of the running for the whole game anyway, and we clawed our way into a really good position where one goal would have done it for us. But we didn't. We were always that one man down. There were always that extra 10 yards that each one of our players had to run. So
I'm going to say Ben Davies on the pitch, mate. It's almost like we were two men down in that game as well, to be honest.
He came off, didn't he? Vertonghen and went sort of left wing or left back, and Son in front of him.
So, Vertonghen was excellent that night. When Davies came off, he really stepped up another level.
And again, but that could have happened with Ali on the pitch. We could have gone, right, we need another goal. Davies off, Son on, Ali more central, whatever. I don't know, but I can't see beyond. I get it. I do think that we're not asked as much about the Europa League. But at the same time, we look just as asked against some teams in the Champions League. And Pochettino looked as asked. Actually, Pochettino looked really animated on the touchline. He, in the second half in particular, it's a big old technical area at Wembley. And I was behind one of the goals, so you kind of see the whole length of it, if you like. And he was back and forth and throwing his arms up. There was a time when he was looking at the crowd and trying to G him up a little bit. So I felt like he got the importance of what, you know, that game in particular at Wembley.
I get the feeling some of the noises coming out from certain players and from Pochettino himself, and just reflected in team selections that we've seen for the FA Cup and for latterly the Europa League, that he is actually conscious of the fact, in terms of if we're looking at what he's doing at Spurs at the moment as a project, I think he very much acknowledges the fact that his time to not win anything is waning, in the respect that, you know, he let's be honest, we threw the Europa last year. We did. And I feel that he's maybe kind of getting to a stage now where he realises X amount's been spent, X players are further along in development. There's only so many more excuses you can keep making for saying this team's young, this team's developing, before people start. Because journos are already doing it. They're already calling his methods into question, saying, how long do we continue to praise Pochettino if he doesn't win anything? Which
seems mad.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him a year's worth of praise, which is quite a lot, I suppose, in journalism. It was about this time last year. People were slagging him off for the Dortmund game, but then we beat City. Then we had that performance against Arsenal where we obviously fell away, but we just kept winning. So,
I mean, this kind of thing, though, when you do think about it, like, it is quite ridiculous. Like, it is laid out in this sense of, like, well, he's got to win something. You know, I mean, there's the FA Cup, or there's the League Cup, or there's the Europa League - Champions League. But when you actually think about the odds of any one team winning a trophy compared to all the other teams that people say should be winning a trophy. So if you consider this year, people would probably say Liverpool should win the FA Cup, United should win the FA Cup, Spurs, Manchester City, so on and so forth. Well, they not all of them can, and obviously that sort of nuance isn't often factored into this sort of nuance that I can bring to the table. but you know, I get it in an anecdotal sense that Spurs should win something, but I'm not by any means calling for Poch's.
I think people are maybe just asking, when's it our turn? You know, we've not even had an FA Cup final since the last time we won the FA Cup. Last time we won the League Cup, we've had two finals since then, and just kind of
whimpered out a bite.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Not fair.
Yeah, it does.
I want my entitlement. Yeah. I want it now.
That's the thing with Spurs. It's like, we've got this entitlement. We are a really good team, and we win more games than we don't. And we've got this team that we can look at 90% of the whole squad, be proud of, and say, you've made up of people that we've developed and brought through, and we've got this manager that's prepared to give people a chance, and we don't spend a lot of money. But then you get there, it's like, say, there's only so far you can take that and just go, well, I would quite like to win something with all of that, please.
It's all a bit tantric at the moment, isn't it, really? Yeah. Like, kind of the progression of Spurs is like, come on, get in there, get in there. And then that's not the noises I actually make when I'm doing anything.
It's sort of edging, I think.
But it, yeah.
I can see why she said yes. See what happens without Dan. Just gets blue. We should talk about Ali before we start talking about the broadest terms for Spurs. But we should talk about Ali. You called it nasty, Jack. I was really pissed off with him actually after the game, and I think it took a performance like against Stoke, which we will come on to, but it took a good performance immediately afterwards for everyone to be like, okay, yeah, fine, like, whatever. And it could have happened at a worse time. I mean, that sort of thing could happen against Arsenal or Chelsea or FA Cup semi or FA Cup final, because he doesn't really change his the way that he plays necessarily, depending on who he's playing against. So how do you feel about it, Ollie? Because I think immediately after you... I mean, you're quite measured anyway, which I don't like, but...
Sorry.
Well, yeah. If you can,
it was really rash. And you see in the build-up, he feels like, and he probably should have had a free kick awarded to him, and he's not. And then the ball's broken in front of him. I think in his het-up moment, he's lunged to try and win it back. I wouldn't go as far to say it was nasty. I don't feel it was... I don't feel like he was going out to really hurt the guy or like get some revenge on him. I do just think it was a case of trying to win the ball back in a quite a het up moment.
I think that's bollocks. I can't, the way that I look at it as well is that if another player, if there was another one of our 11, or rather, I don't think there's another one of our 11 that would have done that. If they think Kane gets fouled, then he loses the ball, and then he goes into a what is essentially a it's not a 50-50, and it's not in his favour. Like, he doesn't go over the ball into the top of the guy's shin. And that's not just comparing Kane and Ali. I just think that's this is more of a just an assessment of the character that Ali is. And he's got away with a few as well, hasn't he? I mean, we talked about how we like it, and Pochettino likes it as well. He's, you know, he calls him naughty, and he likes it, but... Did it against Cesca at Wembley. He sort of caused a bit of trouble. He's kicked the Fiorentina guy, I remember last season. He kicked him when he was off the pitch. The Jakob punch, which he did get retrospectively punished for. But that was retrospective. This was more immediate. So it feels like he's been in the post a little bit, this. And maybe the thing that I kept saying was that he needs to learn the lesson from this.
So I think, like, there's two issues which are, they are related, but they are kind of being completely conflated, I feel, over this of Ali, in that, do you want Ali to lose his spike? No. Or I don't, personally, anyway. I like those little challenges. I like the, you know, the fact he's a bit of a bastard, you know, and he gets second. Even the Jakob punch, I don't mind it. Mm. It's kind of, it's the equal and opposite reaction, however you'd say it. You've got this brilliant player, but there's this spark of the devil, I think Pochettino called it, El Diablo, in him, which I'm allowed to say that.
I thought it was a wine.
Yeah. Well, those things that, you know, men with beards play with at music festivals. But anyway, you don't want him to lose that spike. But that challenge itself, I mean, it was from the, you know, it was from the Charlie Adam scrapbook. It was,
yeah, I think that's a really good point. If Charlie Adam had done that on Sunday, you know, people would be calling for him to be fucking banned for weeks. And well, there was
if Dele Alli gets the full 3-match ban, wouldn't have any objection to it at all. I mean, apparently it can go up to 5, but that's generally reserved for actual assault. So, for example, if not during the action, as it were, so if referee's blown up and they walk into the tunnel and Ali punches one of them in the face or something, that's what they reserve the 5-match ban for. But
it's a clear red card and it's a terrible tackle. Is it malicious intent? You know, is he actually going out there to hurt the guy? I'm not so sure. He's lost control of his emotions, perhaps.
He's maybe overreacted. Lost clarity.
Yeah, but I don't...
But
that's because he obviously, like you said, he plays with an edge. He's an aggressive player generally. And
I guess so, but I think regardless of that, I know, again, it is something you have to factor in, the intent, that this, to that, but for whatever his intent was, and it, were it malicious or not, it was a leg-breaking challenge. He could have broken the bloke's leg, so... You know, regardless of whether he's gone into that thinking, I want to break this bloke's leg or not, it doesn't really matter. Like, the tackle's horrific, and, you know, it's not, you know, not to walk that route of this isn't what Tottenham stand for type thing, because I don't really believe in all that sort of moralising and that kind of thing. But, you know, I just don't like to see that in the sport itself.
Do you think there's a case, though, of like separating it from what, you know, the Yakov incident where it's a punch?
The thing that,
to like a tackle that, you know, we've seen players.
But here's what my take sort of on what you guys were just saying, in that we do sort of celebrate the Chelsea performance last season in the, you know, we went down, but we went down fighting. I think Ali's tackle in the Ghent game is out of place in that Chelsea game. Does that make sense?
I think the Chelsea game,
you know, Eric Dyer. Everything that Dyer did, you looked at, he deserved a yellow for every single one of those. He deserved 8 yellows in that game. But none of it was, you know, just below knee level. And that's not just Dyer, that's anyone. There were awful tackles in that game, and it good. But that was kind of the point of the aggression that Pochettino's clearly set that team out with, was do what you can get away with, in a way. And in the end, we didn't get away with it. You know, we drew 2-2, and that was it. Everything was done. But the Ali challenge that he did in the Ghent game, that would have been out of place in the Chelsea game, and he would have been sent off in that as well. So it feels as if there's that initial Pochettino aggression that he wants to install into his teams and each one of his players. And then there's that character that you put on top of that, that, okay, you know, Ali punching someone or you know, giving a dig in the ribs and whatever, that is that kind of pent-up aggression that he knows he's not going to break Jakob's ribs with that, and he's almost in control of that. But if you're naturally inclined to lose control like that in a just general bit of play in the opposition's half, this is it. It wasn't like breaking anything up. It was.
But he's got it. I mean, if he goes ahead and does this several more times in the coming months or years, I think, you've got a point there. He's only done it once.
I think as well, Pochettino said this week that he gave Ali a bit more love this week. He probably felt that there was likely to be a little bit of backlash. And I guess there was a little bit from us as well, maybe sort of sense that the fact that we went out of a competition, you know. But do we maybe forget how young he is? I mean, he's 20 years old. He's had so much football, but he is young. He's still very, very young. And it is his first career red card, I think. Might be wrong about that. It's definitely his first for Tottenham. So, you know, if he doesn't do it, like I say, if he doesn't do it again, we can probably put it down and say the young guy's learnt from it. But do we maybe forget because of how much he's played for us and how important he is for us as well?
The importance certainly heightens why people are annoyed. He could have been a game changer on Thursday and he wasn't on the pitch.
Yeah. Let's say Winks did it, for instance. Yeah. You know, I think an instant. Oh, you know, he's, and Winks is the same age. He's 20 years old. So I think there maybe would have been, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just wanted to put it out there. I liked the Pochettino quotes, actually, because I think it was quite, it wasn't a measured thing of, it wasn't saying almost what we've been saying, like, oh, he'll learn and he's young and that. He just said, you know, I gave him a bit more love because that's the kind of manager that he is, really. He recognises that there's something to be controlled there, but you don't do that through sort of being the authoritarian necessarily.
I definitely think on a wider point as well, the Ali's age is something that is massively overlooked.
So your microphone's dropped.
It has, mate. That's what I was trying to signal you.
Oh, right, I didn't notice. That's fine.
No, yeah, it's gone from being like level in my mouth to like kind of.
It's gone steadily south.
Yes,
it has, yeah.
South with my mouth.
Yeah. I think with it, might as well start talking with it, hey lads.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, if you think about it, he is only 20, and I think this stuff aside, even when he goes through a sort of a run of poor games, people start laying into him a bit, as you know, as football fans do, because you expect a certain level from certain players. But a great comparison there is with someone like Winks. So the same age, Winks is a very good player, but he's definitely not as far along as Ali is, for example. And people cut Winks a lot of slack in accordance with that. You know, I'm sure his sort of his odd stray balls and so on and so forth probably aren't scrutinised as much as Ali's are. And overall, I think, with a player like Dele Alli, you look at his age, you look at what he's achieved already, you look at the impact he's made for Spurs. That's 2 goals against Chelsea. I mean, that is 20 years old.
Yeah.
and he's doing that. Like
he's got 50 goals. His goal against Stoke, where, again, we'll come on to it, but it's his 50th goal for club and country. I mean, that's absurd, isn't it? He's already beaten his goal scoring record for last season as well.
He
genuinely
already,
is incredible.
Mad.
Like I almost feel like it's something that we're not gonna fully appreciate until he's actually gone. That you realise, because I kind of feel like there's not that much buzz around Dele Alli from the Spurs fan base in a way.
Mm.
There is to a degree, but it's different. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it did with Bale. It doesn't kind of feel like it does at the moment with Kane. And
yeah.
I know it's a very different relationship. And partly, I mean, in myself, I kind of feel that with Dele Alli, it just feels like a bit of a, you know, I'm basically waiting until he leaves Spurs.
Mm.
And I don't really get that vibe with anyone else in our team, even like Alderweireld. Lloris I did for a bit, but Dele Alli to me is, you know, I kind of feel like we're a bit of a waiting room for him until a bigger team comes along, which, whatever, you know, it's not just about the ability, the marketability, so on and so forth, but whatever, I think the lad's class, and if he gets a few red cards, if he has a few nasty bits here and there off the thing, I'd prefer it if he didn't do it, but would I want to get rid of him on the basis of that sort of stuff? No, because at the end of the day...
Yeah. And I say, it could have happened in a worse game. This could have happened at Wembley in an FA Cup semi-final or a final or something like that. So
the upside is we don't have to play Thursdays anymore. We're going to have Saturday kickoffs.
Yeah.
We can go back to playing our best 11 week in, week out now. And that is the positive spin.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got two competitions now that we need to go full throttle in. One of those is the Premier League, which we are unlikely to win, but we really do have to get top four. Like, that's the idea, isn't it, now? So, just before we move on to Stoke, and I'm aware that it's been a bit negative when really we've just smashed someone 4-0, so we should be talking positives. But just on the Wembley stuff, we've had a question from Mr. Spurfect at Mr. O'Kaninas. I apologise if I've pronounced that wrong. With our toils at Wembley continuing, are we right to expect the worst from the FA Cup and for next season? So obviously alluding to the fact that we're going to be playing there 19 games next season. How do you feel about it? Is it a concern for you at all?
Yes and no. In terms of the FA Cup, should we get to the semi-final, any team we're playing up against is going to be as nervous of the occasion themselves. That's going to affect them no more than, or no less than it would ourselves. Going into next season, I do have some concerns that it might take us a while to bed in at least.
Mm. Think of like Swansea at home. You know those run-of-the-mill 3 o'clock Saturday kickoffs that don't have that sense of occasion to them. So West Ham, Arsenal, Chelsea, United City, Liverpool probably would all still have that element, partly because of the kickoff time as well, I think. But we've got to think of these run-of-the-mill games where we, you know, 2 o'clock on a Sunday after Europa League, if it happens again, that sort of thing. Those are the games that we are just going to slip up in. And we, at the moment, we're not. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It might be some players' for only opportunity to ever play at Wembley as well.
Yeah.
This is the point. Like, I'm pretty sure I didn't imagine it, but I did try to find the quote earlier and I wasn't able to online. And if something's on the internet, you know, it usually hasn't happened. But I'm pretty sure I read in the Evening Standard the other evening, funnily enough, that's the lad that Dele Alli took out when he was offering sort of his wider thoughts. You know, he sort of said the whole, yeah, right, he came and said, sorry, don't worry about it, no hard feelings. But after that point, when I think he was asked about the game at large, he actually said that Spurs should maybe consider whether or not they want to carry on playing at Wembley, because he was saying, speaking from his own perspective, I might have imagined this, by the way, again, I do caveat that, but I'm pretty sure this happened, that he said, speaking from his own perspective, that he, you know, him and his fellow Ghent teammates all up their game because it's an occasion.
You're the guy that you had on Rule the Roost before the first leg, I think. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Reminded me of the guy in Bruges who talks about the alcoves. He really had a similar, like, bang on accent. It's not just being slightly racist. It's like, I genuinely thought he sounded exactly like him. But he was saying, you know, they were singing we're going to we're going to Wembley and stuff, and they're apparently in London all day, and they were. It was massive to them, and it will be. Of course it is. And
their fans are bang up for it as
well. I liked the fact that they took an entire wall of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know Monaco have about 5 supporters.
Yeah.
But you compare that away support to...
Leverkusen did the same, though. They said, you know, we managed to win at Wembley. It's Wembley, it's not Tottenham. That's almost the problem that we're going to come up against,
and
isn't it?
And the fact it's not... Really, we don't have a home advantage because it's not our home, you know? And
we're also knocking down the only place that we can play well at the moment.
Play fucking well as
we
well.
We do. We really do play well. Yeah.
We're knocking down the Britannia.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. So, do you, Jack, before we move on, do you think it's a problem?
Yeah. I mean, I was all up for it. After the first couple of Champions League games, when everyone was kind of getting down on it a bit... Getting down. I was still an advocate for Wembley because I kind of felt, you know, it's a big occasion, gets us used to going into a big stadium. But for that type of reason, I'm sort of slowly being converted to the would Milton Keynes be that place? You know, because
but then we never know how that's going to go as well. It's obviously it's guesswork that we're going on, but now with Wembley, we can make an educated guess. That's I think what the problem is.
At least, if we do go into Wembley and it goes horribly, we can sort of open up our account in the new stadium as league champions when we win the championship.
Yeah. You know we're losing the first game to Leeds, though, didn't you?
Like, that's true.
1-0.
And then they'll smash it up. And
We'll have to rebuild again. Yeah. All right, let's go on to more positive stuff. So we beat Stoke 4-0 on Sunday.
Right.
Pretty much a perfect response. And particularly in the first half, it didn't feel like... because we didn't get an early goal, I feel like we weren't dominant from the start, but we were, weren't we? It was pretty much done by half-time, which is exactly what you wanted with the fact that most of the players that played on Sunday had played for over half a game as a 10-man team just 3 days before. So I thought it was really a perfect response for it and we could have sort of eased off in the second half. Everyone excellent. Don't think there's anyone that we can single out saying didn't have a good game. Loris made an incredible save at 1-0 down. From Crouch. Absolutely should have scored. But, you know, I kind of like those performances. You know, when you win like 3-4-0, but your keeper still makes a worldie at an important time. It's kind of everyone really contributed and did well. But, you know, we need to mention the front three, Eriksen, Kane and Ali. What I want to ask you is about the formation. So obviously we played Ben Davies as a left wing back on this occasion. And because of Danny Rose's injury, we definitely, and Vertonghen's injury as well, we definitely kind of bottled playing Davies as a left wing back in a few games previous to this. But there seems to be no doubt now that we almost take the onus off the defence. When your attack is that free and that good already, but if you allow them to, with the freedom Ali, Eriksen and Kane have, kind of feels like Pochettino's learning that you maybe don't need to worry too much about what Ben Davies is doing if those front three are working together. Or is that just my interpretation? I don't know.
I think you're spot on with the assessment about the front three. It gets the best out of Ali and Eriksen. They don't have, when you play a kind of four at the back, they're kind of fixed in starting positions defensively, in that they have to kind of get into the right or left flank when we're out of possession. Whereas it seems when you're playing this 3-5 at the back, whatever, they can just go wherever they want. And Eriksen yesterday probably had his best game of the season from what I've seen.
I think that's a fair point.
And it wasn't that some of his corners actually found a man. It was just that it was his general play.
Yeah.
He was everywhere. There was one bit where he's coming from the left flank and nutmegged the guy and, you know, nearly scored from that opportunity. But he was really at the centre of everything we did well.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful to see the three of them, wasn't it? Just doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
Just all over the shop, but in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one thing I tweeted before the game that I was a bit concerned about Dembele starting alongside Wanyama. felt a little bit defensive to me. And also, I don't know, I think one of the only negatives I took out of Wembley is I feel like Dembele sometimes still slows down play a little bit too much. Mm. The sideways passing greats, and that was a sort of concern for me. But they both, like, when Yama and Dembele were on top form, I felt anyway, yeah, against Stoke. And when you have those two playing and these kind of fears you have about it appearing too defensive, actually what that allows that front three to do is to be completely kind of basically free from any sort of defensive responsibility, or yeah, at least that being a major concern of what they're doing. And you just saw that in action. Like the ball was, it was mostly always in Stoke's half, and that just allowed those three lads to just play in and out. Like you couldn't have looked at any of them and said that they had a real fixed position. They were just roving all over the place, playing the ball to one another. Oh, it's glorious when we play like that. It's beautiful.
The interesting thing was that we didn't really have to play at any great tempo.
No.
Because we had that freedom, go where you want. Mm. Must have been an absolute nightmare to try and mark those three, because in 1 minute you're up against Ali, the next you're up against Ericsson.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that as a defence?
And then you clear the ball and you've got three centre-backs. If you clear the ball as a Stoke player, you've got three centre-backs of Spurs who are not just there to head the ball away. All of them can bring the ball down and come back at you to start another attack, and they've got a whole of their own team in front of them.
We marshalled Crouch so well.
Yeah, did really well. And Vertonghen and Dyer, in fact, Kane's first goal came from Dyer pushing forward, and he was almost on the kind of the right angle of the edge of the box. And I think it was his ball through to Eriksen, which kind of bounced around, and then Kane finished it. But we end up with almost six attackers every single time we get the ball, with that security of Vertonghen and Alderweireld, or if it's the other way, Alderweireld and Dyer.
Wanyama
was excellent. Again, it's brilliant.
The thing I would say, that one of the biggest compliments, well, it's not even one of the biggest compliments, just the thing I can note about all three of those players, is that you wouldn't really say any of them, out of Eriksen, Ali and Kane, have pace as a real strong attribute. Yeah. I mean, none of them are slow, really. I think even Kane, who you think of as being quite slow, has his acceleration isn't there, but his overall sort of top speed is all right. But it's just the fact that all three of them just, they have this instinctive kind of grasp of where everyone seems to be it opposition or on their own team. And I don't know, it's that sharing approach to football, where, and all three of them seem to just have that nous for finding space, for making the right runs, for just being there for one another.
Yeah, but they've all got the quality as well. You can make those runs, but if you've not got players around you that have got the quality to find them, and that's what Eriksen does, isn't it? And I thought Walker was good as well at doing the same thing, providing that. His final ball can be questionable, but I think him and Rose, and that's why it's such a shame that Rose has gone as well, but no matter what, the ball is always put into an area where you can always argue someone should be there. If someone's not there, you can almost argue that the problem is with your attackers, not with the ball in. Like, I've had years of Aaron Lennon. That's never been the problem before. It's always the ball in.
Drop the agenda, Tom.
Sorry, mate. Can't. Walker, it's good to do
just
fucking action
makes,
on Saturday, isn't it?
Commits their defence as well. He's so quick, and he got past his man every single time.
Mm.
Every time he went down the outside. And it creates space for others. And
yeah,
he's such a, in that formation, it is such a, his pace is so important to us. But we've slagged him off. But Ben Davies is actually pretty decent yesterday.
Nah, he was
all right yesterday.
Bore off, mate. Nah.
I thought he was all right at doing the job that he
get rid.
Take this outside.
He was doing all right at the job that he needed to do, wasn't he? In that he needed to provide width to stay wide. He's still not a natural going forward, and he's a big problem in a team that's only got two wide players, and they're both in the position. One of the positions is where he plays. His balls in were terrible.
He's better. It seems that he's better in that formation.
Yeah,
at the moment.
I agree.
Because I think
reduce the onus.
You're reducing the onus, but also, and it's something maybe we've not chatted about is, we've talked about kind of what, Vertonghen coming out, Dyer coming out, and basically making that extra man, and it's very difficult to track that person because they're running from so deep at such an unexpected time. you get that extra person in attack anyway. And
I think it kind of does negate it,
especially when Vertonghen comes forward. Maybe we were kind of bedding in with the formation where Danny Rose owned that flank so much. Kind of, whereas Vertonghen's been able to come back in and provide that width almost and that extra attacker from kind of the left channel.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Maybe negates it
something. I just want Danny Rose back.
Yeah.
I just want him back.
Which is fair enough, you know. You never want to see.
But, I mean, the thing is, I never look at Ben Davies. Well, aside from that Wembley, I thought he was atrocious at Wembley, to be honest, be brutally honest. But I don't often look at Ben Davies and think, he's a bad footballer. I don't look at him and think, wow, he's terrible. I look at him and think, he'd probably walk into most teams outside the top six, really. Or at least their squad, you know, their match day squad would walk into it.
Yeah.
But it's more so that he just is not suited to Spurs.
The formation has changed.
Yeah.
The ideal formation for us is so drastically not suited to Ben Davies that it looked bad when you're in a four at the back. You know, he wasn't as attacking. But now we've got a left wing-back system where it gets the best out of our best players and the best position of Rose and Walker on the flanks. But there isn't a place for Ben Davies, unfortunately.
Do you think there's a case to be made that he's lost that battle as well? He now knows he is second choice.
Had he ever won it?
There was a time last season where they were getting chopped and changed. He was getting more league starts. Danny Rose wasn't necessarily... I mean, Danny Rose's rise has been meteoric.
Yeah, definitely.
And it has been. It's been as big, honestly, it's been as big as Kane's. It's different, but to me, the transformation has been as big as Kane's.
Yeah. We need to talk about Kane because we are running low on time. It's second hat-trick in 7 days. I'd forgotten about the Fulham hat-trick as well because of Wembley and stuff. Yeah, it was. But this...
Spoiled.
It was just hilarious as well because first two goals... I think the second goal was one of the best goals I've seen Kane score. I mean, that was an awesome finish. First goal was really nice. Where I sit, you could see it arrow in, and he's just so good at that, at finding just inside the far post.
It was such an instinctive finish, wasn't it? No hesitation,
exactly.
Just a bang.
But that's Harry Kane, though, isn't it? Like that first goal he scored... That's what I mean. That's what's been kind of lacking from his Wembley performances. There's no second guessing himself. It's just that the ball's there, it drops to him in the box. He's lashing it in because he knows he can do it. And that he just has that. I know it's that kind of like Yadar, magic of the FA Cup type bullshit, but he just has that knack. He has that, whatever it is, whatever that intangible is, that it doesn't make sense because, you know, everyone took the piss out of him when he broke through and so on and so forth. But the lad has it and no one can take that away from him. That's why it frustrates opposition fans so much, because he doesn't look like a footballer. He doesn't talk like a footballer.
Yeah.
Or at least a footballer with the ability that he clearly has.
Yeah.
And people are so desperate to take it away from him. They're so fucking desperate to. It's not just Arsenal fans, it's not just Chelsea fans. You can see there are those football writers and so on and so forth, they probably have those articles saved in their drafts where it's just like, see, we told you it wasn't going to last. But he keeps doing it. He keeps dumbfounding everyone, even Spurs fans. I think even people that love him, there's still probably that air of doubt just because we're naturally negative that it's not going to last.
Yeah.
It just won't. But he keeps doing it because he's quality. He just is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
He's top goal scorer already of the season. He's got 17 league goals now.
He knows it's... Oh, league goals, yeah.
Yeah, 17 league goals. Earlier on mentioned that Ali had got 12 this season.
Yeah.
Now, previous years, Jermaine Defoe would be our top scorer with 12.
Genius with 3.
And we've got a guy who's missed 7 weeks with injury. Bearing in mind.
Yeah.
He's now already top scorer in the league. He's broken 20 goals for the season already. Likely he's going to make 20 league goals, 3 years running.
He's hit the first player since Jimmy Greaves to hit 20 goals in a season in 3 consecutive seasons for us, for Spurs. I mean,
he's got like 60 odd league goals in 90 games.
Yeah.
Like, two and
he's
three.
Our fourth highest Premier League goal scorer, I think. I think that it's, if it's not fourth, it's third. I didn't actually see it. Somebody tweeted it yesterday. The only ones I can think it's going to be, yeah, it's probably going to be Keane, Defoe and Sheringham ahead of him. He's smashed Berbatov like halfway through last season. You know, he's... I think you're right, Jack. Like the desperation from other fans has to make us love him more as well, because there's nothing better than one of your own players doing something when the whole world wants him not to. Do you know what I mean? That he's a narrative smasher. The Euros, his disappointing Euros felt, for rival fans, that felt like their moment to be like, you know what? Fucking told you so. Like, can't take a corner, can't take a free kick. No, he can't, but he can score against you every other game because that's just what he does. You give him the ball in the box and he finds that weird area of the goal where a goalkeeper just looks stupid because he can't go for it. You know, everything that he does. That volley after the corner that dropped him on his left foot, he's angled down on the ball, knowing that it had to go low to make it into the goal, and it still curls away. It just, that comes from hard work and practice, and he's done that probably a million times in training, and he's going to do it. He's going to keep doing it because that's kind of the player and the man that he is. He works hard at what he does best, and what he does best is scoring fuckload of goals.
And when you pitch him against the other kind of leading lights and the strikers of the league, you know, got Ibrahimovic, Costa, you know, they got this kind of swagger or bad boy image. And then Harry Kane's tweeting pictures of his dogs.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't fit into that.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of leading on to what you were saying.
And he's
about
not got a hashtag.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
He's
tried it a little bit in the past, but even then it doesn't feel that comfortable. He does lack that, like you said, that marketability, doesn't he? But I think it's the it's so visceral with Kane. Like, it's you can tell he's the lad that, like, he probably, you know, I'm sure, as anyone does, you know, he's only human. He has this pressure weighing on him, and there is a heightened expectation on him to continue doing it. But you get the impression, like we're saying, from those type of goals, those instinctive finishes, that he's there because ultimately he probably knows himself, I'm here because this is what I do and this is how I do it. And we always say he's at his best when he's not trying. You see the performances in which, you know, no one likes, it's never comfortable to criticise Harry Kane. None of us likes to do it. And, you know, come on, there are games when we all know in ourselves, he leaves the pitch and we've whatever drawn one all, and you think Kane's had a mare there, he's not had a good game, and you can see he's the lad that's most disappointed about that. But they're more often than not the games when he drops back too much and he's trying too hard and he's getting stuck in and this and that. But those, when he is just being himself and he's just there to score a goal, because he can do that.
Well, the other thing to mention here as well is that I can see it, mate. You gone red faced.
I do, mate. It's boiling. It is boiling.
Yeah, mate. It's too hot.
Come over, all Graham Taylor. I'm not saying that in a problematic way. They used to call me beetroot, didn't
they? Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, sweet, wasn't it?
Was it sweet? I don't know.
Turnip.
Yeah, of course.
Turnip. Yeah.
Sorry, Jesus. God. This is abysmal.
But, I mean, Harry Kane. Well, you know, he's a bit of a Forrest Gump player, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? In that.
No.
Wait, because he's...
You're being problematic now.
Yeah.
No, I'm not being
just
problematic.
Just because, I know we made the joke about you becoming a dad and going to the dar, but...
guy that has got, like, this amazing talent and it just seems so natural and kind of... He's almost blasé about how good he is, where someone... And, you know, doesn't want to be the big flash guy, just, oh, I'm just going to score a goal. Play some golf afterwards, you know? And it just seems so routine, almost workman-like, and he's, like, the best... workman-like, world-class striker there is.
Yeah. Do you remember when... The comparison keeps getting made here, so I don't really give a fuck about, like, making it again, but do you remember when Shearer used to score a goal and he'd run away and do his hand-up celebration? But if it was a really important goal...
It was a little bit...
It was. Why have we got a problematic minute on this? Anyway, he used to score a goal, hand-up, run away to... If it was a really important goal, two hands up. Like, that was his extent of where it went. And I kind of feel the same with Kane. Like, he scores a really important goal when he kind of runs away, does that jump, and then does a little fist bump. And that's it. That's
yeah,
all he does.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
against
yeah.
Arsenal. Yeah, against yeah. Arsenal, the last two times he's scored, when he scored that worldie, which still...
The mask.
And mate, every single time that... Because you know the pre-video at White Hart Lane before the game when they do the Tadarius to do stuff? Oh, yeah. And the Kane bit at the end, and it goes silent, and he whips... You can see the replay of him whipping it in, and then it does the noise of White Hart Lane. It genuinely makes me tear up. In White Hart Lane, if they show that in the last game of the season, I'm there. I probably will go. Probably going to go anyway. But like that goal encapsulates everything about White Hart Lane and Harry Kane for me. It's just white noise of raw football for me. Like, I've never known anything like it. I was in my living room for God's sake, and I just screamed the house down and just yeah. Well, I thought we was going to win the league for a start, but he's.
I still think we are.
Yeah,
we're in it.
Now you're gonna believe yeah. us.
I forgot what my point was, but what was my point? What were we talking about?
Shit.
Harry Kane is an orgasm.
Yeah,
personified.
He's just what I mean is he's got this element of just enjoying football because he's good at it, and I think you're right there. It is workmanlike. It is just I can score goals. He's scored 20 goals this season without actually. Hitting a proper purple patch. Because in his first season under Pochettino, he first came into the team and it was like just constant goal scoring. And the last season didn't he have like 8 games in a row where he scored and he was up against Vardy and then Vardy got to 12 or whatever it was. But no one ever spoke about Kane reaching
the summit. How many has Vardy got this year?
Is it 4?
Is he
something like 4? Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. No, just one.
Yeah.
Just double checking.
But he's not a one season one.
No, Kane is.
Yeah, Kane's the.
But he's the fraud. No, Kane's a fraud. But Vardy.
Tapping merchant penalties. Yeah. Without that, he's.
But Jack, Kane scored about 60 Premier League goals. He hasn't scored all of those in one season, has he?
No, I don't. I'm not sure, actually.
This doesn't mathematically add up, does it?
How long's the season?
Something like 63 games or something like that. I don't really know. I don't know. I'm not paid to do this or anything, but. Yeah, Vardy,
you need one of those stats people I hear about.
Yeah, I think so. But Vardy, you know, once got about 20 goals in a season and he came on for England and did nothing. But, yeah, it's a shame that not more's written about that, really. And he's racist. So.
He's racist.
Yeah. We persevere.
They should make a film about Kane, shouldn't they?
Now, yeah, that I'd watch.
I won't digress to this.
Sorry, just took a massive sip of beer. What percentage is that?
I haven't been able to work it out yet. It's the one with a... If anyone knows what it is, it's a Zuber. It's the one with a bull or a bison on the front.
It's probably alcohol-free, isn't it? We're just...
Yeah.
We're just up.
No, 6%. OBJ. Says, Puo Jasna Alk, 6% OBJ.
So we're drunk on cane. That's what it is.
I'm up for that.
Just by the way, that touch for Ali's goal.
Oh,
I mean, we've not even mentioned that yet. That was outrageous. And you're talking about not having a necessarily a turn of pace. Yeah, that.
It's beguiling, isn't it? It is beguiling his pace. Every now and again, it does hit you. But that touch, I don't know. I hate doing this, but I do it all the time. So you know. If Rooney had done that,
if Suarez had done that,
if Aguero had done that, if you know, whatever,
there'd be a bloody statue.
Jesus,
about it,
the new lad that you know, Man City signed. People, they're falling over themselves to lavish praise on him.
You're absolutely bang on. Yeah, but it's Kane. You know,
it's you know, basically when are white Englishmen gonna get a break? When are they?
Nowadays.
Sorry, I've got to speak up for us. I've got to speak up.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to say I'm a bit foreign. It's kind of all, it's just all a bit of banter. Do you know what I mean?
Bit foreign. Just before we move on to Everton, the only bad sort of moment was Vertonghen and Alderweireld both went off, but apparently they both asked to go off after, like, they felt something.
Sell them.
Yeah, the foreign lads.
Sell them.
Typical.
Yeah. Are they part of them, they surrender as well, did they? I bet they did.
Bit cold, was it, Toby? Yeah. Go on, get yourself off
one of those. Do your hair. Oh, I say, yeah.
He's got good hair, actually. He does. Fair, isn't he?
I was going to say never a lock out of place, but there's actually a meme where it shows that he did have that.
Is there?
I remember that, at one point.
Yeah, so... I can't keep up with the end.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? Yeah, we're all too old for this nonsense now. Yeah, but apparently it's all precautionary. They both asked to come off, and they went off.
They just probably got the arse bored.
Probably. Because I thought it was like 5 minutes into the second half.
Came on and looked like bloody Maldini. They were
He loved it. Yeah, loved
Burger
it.
Kev.
Anyway, we're really running low on time. We're not going to get any time to do listener questions, but we should probably do Everton before we stop. Everton at home on Sunday, is it?
Next game.
Yeah, next game. At the weekend. but they're kind of resurgent at the moment, and they're within sight of the top six. Admittedly, a pretty bloody good top six. But I kind of see this as a big threat to our home record.
I thought I'd do some research. Obviously not what...
Go on.
Not what day we're playing on.
Yeah.
I didn't go that far.
Yeah, no, why would you?
Not with no point. Mm. Their away form is not that great. They've won four away this season. Most of them came before Christmas. I think three of them came before Christmas.
One of those at Leicester as well. That was their last away victory. Yeah. So yeah.
And they've had that. They've had a good result against City. But that City were pretty weird that day.
Weren't they? That was a... Yeah. Well, they're 9 unbeaten. They've not been beaten since the middle of December.
A lot of those are draws.
But
Borough, I think.
To be within... I think they're within 5 points of Man United. You know, everyone's talking about the top six being this impenetrable, you know, group of teams, and you know, how could anyone get near to the riches and the players of their calibre and stuff? But they are.
If any team were going to be Everton,
fastest losers, I suppose, though, isn't it really? And as well, it should be mentioned. So Lukaku is on 17 for the season. Do you know their next highest scorer?
Barkley or someone like that.
Ross Barkley and Seamus Coleman equal on 4. We were mentioning earlier about Defoe would be our top scorer, and then you'd have Genus on 4. That is Everton at the moment. So it's just a
Defoe never got to 17.
Yeah, he did.
In the league?
Yeah, I think he did.
He had that weird
batch at the start of the first season we got into Champions League.
What was that season when we did really well? We pushed top four. I think it was the top four season, wasn't it? The Crouch.
The one where he got 5 in the game against Wigan.
Yeah.
That was when he got to...
And he scored that bicycle kick against United at home, but we ended up losing that game. And Defoe was like, Jesus, Defoe, this is like, he's peaked.
He scored a hat-trick against Hull as well. Yeah. So when you consider it, he scored 9 goals in 3 games.
I've got a lot of love for Jermaine. I know you don't, Tom, do you?
No, it's not... It's not that I don't. I don't like the revisionism around Defoe. I'm not...
I'm with you there.
I don't think he was as good, but however, would take him back at the moment. Scores goals.
Yeah.
I'd
take him back easily. Yeah. Like, for the
I thought
the
you
bench.
Just like said you were sick of the revisionism and...
Yeah,
I
but
these remember years. Of
no, no, but I'm not.
Like,
yeah, I'm sick of revisionism of him playing and starting up 10, front.
15 minutes at the end.
Yeah, if you, I've made this argument a lot.
Would you have him over Son?
Yeah,
madness.
Like,
you're.
Well, who's
your
scoring? Who, if you're 1-1 against West Brom and you bring on Defoe, you know, with 10 minutes to go, I would say the
thing I would give Defoe as well is that, you know, it's just something that Ibrahimovic gets a lot of praise for. Look at the physical condition of Jermaine Defoe for his age.
Mm.
That's a dedicated professional. Mm. You have to give that to the lad. Like he's you know, he's still.
And it's not like he's nobody.
Buff team.
Nobody's carrying him as well. He's quite small as well.
You could.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, but you could literally take him out of Sunderland and they'd have got relegated 2 seasons ago. That's the long and short of what Jermaine Defoe brings to the team. And I got a lot of shit for this when I said that I would still take Defoe back, but I'm not saying bring him back as an alternative to Kane. He's the guy you bring on with 10 minutes and go, you know what, fuck it, have a go, because this is what he used to do for us anyway, and it used to go in 5% of the time. But it's, you know, that's 5% that could get, that's that extra 5% that you never know could get
it's
you
almost that money ball type thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, it's like when people, I'm sure I'm going to get attacked by stats people now, but for example, like when people were talking about us perhaps signing Llorente, and we were linked to him, and there was that whole kind of, because I remember Chelsea were linked to him, and we were, and there's that whole, oh, why would Chelsea sign someone like Llorente? They don't need him. But this stuff now, it is all broken down, isn't it, by that kind of basis of, well, we invest X amount in him, he's pretty much guaranteed to score us 5 to 7 goals, and if we're bringing him on X amount of times, that's it. That's what makes a difference.
And yeah,
I really haven't explained that very well. No, at
but
all, have I?
Like, right. It is. No, it's the difference maker. What would he do? What would he do that would add value to your team or club,
Chadley,
to bring him
in? Look at you know, if you look at this year, we're bringing on Mr. Sissoko. Basically, that's our upgrade on Chadley, who's done fuck all. Like, he's done fuck all, and you know, I'll go bad bastard on Sissoko. Not actually bad bastard, just in a footballing sense. Like, but you know, he's brought nothing to us. Whereas Chadley was guaranteed. He was guaranteed at least 8 goals a season, I would say. You say, maybe?
Yeah, but
In all competitions.
Yeah, but I think with him and Mason, weren't they off? There's only so long you can do that with players that
want to be starting.
Yeah, good enough to start. We've talked about Ben Davies. You know, he's good enough to start for 14 out of the 20 teams in the league.
That's not so much what I'm getting at in terms of why did we sell Chadley. It's just more demonstrating that there are certain players who, although they're not good enough for your first team, there are those kind of statistical advantages.
Son has been, is that third goals scorer?
Yeah.
Second. And Son, yeah, okay, quite yeah, a few enough. Goals this season.
Yeah, he has. But think of this as well.
Some important ones too.
But I don't think
Janssen's
Son,
nowhere
I don't think
near
that's
it.
What we brought Son in for, though. I think Son was supposed to be challenging for a starting berth to be one
is.
Of our. Is he?
Not in a 3-4-3.
Not in a 3-4-3.
But he's got enough games out of it. I think this season shows more than any other that a squad game is... You need a squad to do what we want to do as well. Squad goals, literally, yeah. I like Son. I'm just looking at... I think something that I didn't actually mention in the Stoke game is that Janssen was again overlooked. And it's starting to look a bit cruel now, like... We're 4-0 up at half time, and if you can't bring a guy on to protect the guy that's just scored a hat trick and against a team that were looking for ligaments after about 30 minutes, you know.
They're horrible, aren't
they? I think he would have got game time had Jan Vertonghen not come on.
There were people moaning around me. And Toby as well. Like,
and Son is above the pecking order, and there must be a hierarchy there.
And I also think part of it as well is, right, you know, the only way you can bring Janssen on is by taking Kane off. And Kane needs the confidence as much. Yeah, he is approached, like you said, he hasn't had a purple patch all season yet. He's been injured at the start. He hasn't had his purple patch. He's hitting it now. You don't want to ruin the momentum. Mm. While he's doing, you know, he's scored a hat-trick and he's had that flick. He's had an amazing assist. Just, I think Pochettino will want to keep that going.
I suppose we've got a week until the next game as well, so... Yeah. But, Kane went down after a header in the second half, and I guess it's revisionism again, isn't it? Yeah, but you do think, oh, mate, if you'd have taken him off 5 minutes ago on 60 minutes, you never know. And I guess, but you know, he could have scored another 2 goals, couldn't he? So.
If it's form-related, I'm not particularly worried about it being the end for Janssen. I think the only, as we've seen with Pochettino, generally it's the end for a player when something off the pitch happens. There's some sort of fallout. They're not falling in line with him, his training, so on and so forth. I think Pochettino would afford him more time if it is a performance based concern. I have enough faith in Pochettino that he would give him more time
and
on
at
that
the same
basis.
Time, so, I mean, I might be wrong on some of the transfer fee figures here, but Nkudu, in the grand scheme of things, was not that less expensive. Nkudu was about 14 million, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 14.75, I think.
And then you've got Janssen, 17.5. And no one is questioning, why is Nkudu not getting game time?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And Nkudu, I mean, yeah. Nkudu's been toilet. Janssen's had more good games for us than Nkudu has.
Yeah.
I'd say par, but...
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Sorry to act so surprised, but...
Well, no, it is a good point. It is a very good point.
Yeah, no one is... Nkudu doesn't get near the team, actually, does he? There's almost this weird cut-off point, particularly with Spurs, who don't have this unlimited budget of Chelsea and City. You know, Chelsea and City don't go and spend 15 million on players anymore, do they? There's no player, because generally, when they do, they're the kind of good ones. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're the ones that they go, oh, actually, yeah, he could improve our team. He's not just a £30 million signing for the sake of a £30 million signing. Like, the Otamendi and, you know. But it almost feels like we've got this cut-off point of £15 million. And it's almost as if the Bale and the Modric and the, like, the Bentley and the Bent signings of 15, 16 million, because they were records at the time, they've got this sort of exclusive thinking now for Spurs fans. Like, if it's above 15 million, you've got to produce. Soldado, Paulinho and Lamelo, like our main ones, and Son even actually as well. But if it's below, you're almost like...
Oh, well, exempt.
We paid 17 million for Bentley. You're fine, Kevin. Like, you turn up for training, you run a bit up and down the wing, but you're not getting anywhere near the first team. But that's fine, because you didn't cost 17 million. But we've got this cut-off point, weirdly, that kind of dictates that if you're above a certain level, you have to perform. And you have, if Sissoko cost us 6 million, which is the reported fee of the first season, but if he did genuinely cost 6 million, probably wouldn't actually be that much concern about it.
No.
No?
I mean, we don't know. That's the thing, isn't it? So 6 million a year has been the reported thing. I mean, he has been worse than 6 million a year,
yeah,
unfortunately. And I really wanted him to do well. I was just to, like, annoy people.
Yeah, yeah, anything, yeah. Like. I wanted him to annoy Newcastle fans, mainly. I just wanted him to come good and be like, yeah, but he's been a war crime, hasn't he, really? Should we do a final listener question? Nobody's told us to get out yet, so we should probably do a quick one. Dark at Go Dark Horse asks, best home record, only 3 losses, plus 32 goal difference, second in the league, what's not to like? Mic drop. I think...
What, 3 losses?
3 losses. Chelsea...
Liverpool.
Oh, I thought you were talking about home record. Because you started it by saying best home record. Seeing we haven't lost.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think this is all. This is a list of things to be very positive about this season.
Yeah, definitely. There are.
I think... I don't want to speak for him here, but... The reason that I've included it here is because I like to talk about the fact that this season at this stage compared to last season at the same stage felt like there was more grandeur, if you like, around last season. And maybe that was because Leicester were ahead. Maybe that was because we were still in this perhaps arrogant thinking that it's only Leicester, they'll fall away, and then it's us and maybe one other, you know.
I think...
But the fact is, we are doing better this season.
It's one of those things that's natural, isn't it? I mean, like, when you're doing well, the bar obviously gets raised, and all you can do is, you know, there always has to be some sort of criticism of everything. That's the only way things improve. And the criticisms, the better you get, feel more ridiculous, especially when you're thinking about Spurs being the team that they are. And these type of ridiculous criticisms are sometimes lost in the ether when you have a bit more time to reflect on things and you consider the bigger picture and see more of the context, the reasons behind why these negative things happen. I mean, it's one of the things that I guess, because there's no emotional attachment there aside from wanting them to not do that well, that we can laugh at Arsenal fans when they do the whole, Wenger out, he's shit, he's a disgrace, he's ruining our football club, blah, blah, blah. Because I would say, being someone that has no, again, emotional investment in Arsenal other than wanting them to not do that well, you look at what Wenger's done really with that team and you think, well, consistently, he's got a team that is, you know, doesn't have the resources of City and Chelsea, so on and so forth, to be consistently the best of the rest. And they are. Arsenal are only ever generally beaten by a Chelsea. Leicester, all right, that's the fallback, but, you know.
Beat everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It generally is City, Chelsea. You look at even in the Champions League, they only ever go out when they play against someone that far surpasses them in terms of what they can spend. And just as a team with the resources available to them, so on and so forth, who are bigger in stature. And so I think that's something that, you know,
you have to juggle that, don't you? As a Spurs fan, we have to look at it and be like, well, look, we're actually probably outdoing what Weng is doing with Arsenal. We're punching at a level that we really shouldn't be at. Like, and that, you know, perhaps even prior to Pochettino coming in, we've been punching at a level we really shouldn't have been at. But at the same time, of course, people are going to still be critical because, you know, you just have to be critical of something. You have to, because things won't improve otherwise. You know, I don't think anyone's ever going to watch a game of football. You know, how stale would that be if you were genuinely just like, oh, well, we lost. Oh, well, we didn't win the league. Of course, people are going to react to it. Mm. But, you know, I guess it's how long you harbour that agenda for. You know, I was gutted after last season. Absolutely gutted. And, you know, 100% of Spurs fans were gutted we didn't win the league last year. Come on, let's be honest. But you look at it now in the context of, you know, having had a few months on and so forth, you think, fuck, we finished third. It's annoying that we didn't finish second and it whatever happened at Newcastle happened. But, you know, it's brilliant. So
the one thing, because I'm going to shut you up.
Yeah, please do. Please do. I do. You know me, mate. You know what my life.
Game drinking.
We need a cup. I think that's the thing that's would just shut everyone up, because everything actually in the league. Well, no, nothing can.
Food. Quiet when I'm eating.
Yeah. You're not actually a champ.
I fucking hate party mouth. It does my
awful, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't stand it. It actually makes me angry.
If we get a cup, though, I think over the last few seasons, we've concentrated on getting top four, haven't we? And that's been the raison d'etre.
Mm.
Look that one up.
All right. Yeah. Steady.
But if we get a trophy to at least have something to sing about, a moment in the sun, a lot more.
Yeah.
You get a lot more leeway with kind of finishing third. No.
I think it's a totally fair point to say that the last two trophies that we've won have been won when we've actually been quite shit. We weren't good in 2008 necessarily, but we targeted the League Cup as something to win. Same in, what was it, 2099 or 2000? Liverpool, this is what annoys me, and I'd love to take the piss out of Liverpool, but no matter how bad they've been, they've still won four or five trophies in the last 6-7 years.
And finished above us once.
Yeah, but they win
they are
trophies.
A good cup side, aren't
but
they?
But that's what we tell ourselves we are.
Yeah, and
we
even
tell
United,
we are
United
a cup.
You
know,
above us in a few
I remember
years,
being a kid.
Two cups.
I remember being a kid and being told that we're a cup team. We're not a cup team. We've won three cups in 30 years. We're not a cup team. It's you can't be a cup team based on this. What we take out of, you know, this is why we take the piss out of Liverpool, you know, the history stuff. But it's part of their DNA to win trophies. You know, they almost by accident, same as United this year, but almost by accident, they've got to the League Cup final. You know, and they won the thing because they came up against Southampton. Because almost every time you get to the League Cup final and it's against someone who probably doesn't really give
since,
as much of a
shit. Since what, Wigan have
won the FA Cup, Swansea have won the League
Birmingham
Cup.
Birmingham won a cup more recently than us?
Yeah, Birmingham won the League
Swansea,
Cup as well. Swansea,
I mean,
yeah.
These are toilet teams.
Yeah, this is it. This is my the annoying thing. And
so that's
a
bad thing.
Well,
dark horse.
But I just think this season we're doing better and we're doing pretty well, like, even in comparison to last season. Statistically, we're doing better. But you think of the disappointments of the Champions League. That's a big factor, I think. If we didn't have Champions League this season, what would you really point to as the disappointing couple of weeks? But really, it was the Monaco, and didn't we lose someone after Monaco as well? Or we dropped points against someone?
We haven't lost any stupid games in the league this year.
No, we haven't.
We haven't actually lost any stupid games, annoyingly. There's no one. I mean, we've had some Leicester at home, bad result.
Sunderland away.
Still time, lads.
Thank God.
We've
a proper whinge then, can't we?
We've got to finish top four. We have to.
Yeah.
I think it's imperative, but I really think it is. I think an uncomfortable truth to us not finishing top four. I think we, much as he is, I think he loves the club. I think he has a real affinity. I think we do risk losing players like Kane if we don't finish top four consistently.
Yeah, yeah. Toby. Like, these are the guys that are the best in their position in the league. So, yeah.
Everything's pointing towards us doing so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're second. We've got the best
goal difference in the league.
We've got our home games left.
Very close, though.
But you, of course, it's going to be because you're up against good teams. Yeah, but that's where we are.
You look at our home games.
Mate, stop shouting.
We've got the last North London derby. We've got the last game against United, which is the last game at White Hart Lane. But other than that, we've got Bournemouth at home, Watford at home, someone else at home, I can't remember what it is, and then we're looking at Leicester away. You know, take away
West
the
Ham
rivalry.
West Ham away,
it is going to be a bit. But we've been there at tough times as well, when they've been up against relegation and we've been up for something as well, beating them. Leicester, who knows? Like, they are shit, let's face it, this season. I think we bottled it at the Lane against them, but they are shit. And I think that they are going to be more concerned about themselves when Kane was injured.
No, so when do we play them?
Oh, when do we? I don't know, actually.
Could we put them down?
I don't think that would be so good. But we've got Hull away last game in the season, which
Harry Kane's took a picture of a lion wanking. Is he?
On that note, let's end this. No, I don't either, really. But
a bit of anthropomorphism as well, because lions don't wank.
The zebra has gone to your brain.
Do you know that for sure?
No,
it has a lot of it.
This is the sort of knowledge that you're going to be imparting on your child.
Just play this back, won't I?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't have to.
Was it
easy parenting?
Conceived easy. To the Tottenham way by any chance, or
who have you been talking to?
Oh, for the love of God, let's end this. Right, Jack. Thanks very much for joining us again. Hopefully we'll do this again. We'll do more cross pollination.
I'm going to be invited back.
If you keep bringing the zebra, then you absolutely will be. Ollie, this actually genuinely might be the last time we get you on. Certainly this season, because things are going to get very busy for you after what? Is it about 3 weeks?
He's already been busy, mate.
Twice as many shitty pants. Like, yeah.
Right. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye. Say bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.